Pay. You know, it's something about that money, something about that Cash Money Green that just makes every man feel fantastic. You know what I'm talking about, mister?
I think we're talking about two different things, because I don't have that Cash Money Green that you're talking about.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes things bless you. Sometimes Lori looks out for you, gives you a little bit of a bursary, you know, for being a good student.
Oh, you got one of the bursaries.
You know what?
Wow. Okay. All right. I see. You and I have a very different relationship with the school then.
Hey, man, I ain't here advocating for nothing different. You know, you're a different guy. We're all on the same page here. We're on the same boat trying to get to a different destination. That's all. We are your hosts. This is Kiefer Whitehead, and over there we got
Jothan over here on Hawkeyes.
Oh, what a great night it is.
Yeah, today is the last full day of winter.
It is. You know what's really interesting about today?
What is interesting about today?
Today is March, which is the third month of the year.
My birthday's in this month.
Oh, it is this month.
You didn't forget, did you?
Of course not.
Okay. You better not have forgotten, because that'd be a test of a friendship.
Of course not.
But go ahead.
Yep. Of course not. But what else is really interesting this day in particular is that it happens to be March 19th.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know, but the number 19, it's synonymous.
With greatness.
It is.
With greatness.
It is. There's a name that comes to mind when you think of the number 19, isn't there? I can't think of it right now. I don't know if you got on the tip of your tongue or something like that.
It might be Gittens
Jr.?
Possibly.
KGJ or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, folks. Yes, indeed. We have the number 19 of your Laurier Golden Hawks men's football team, Curly Gittens Jr., in the house tonight talking with us. Truly a pleasure to have you on air, Curly. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, every time we get you, it's truly a pleasure. We always have a great chat. You know, I get to see you at home afterwards, too. We get to even talk about it a little bit later. You know, it's great. Truly is great.
So, Keith, Curly, you got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big year for you. Oh, eh? Yeah. Now, you don't need no introduction, but if we were going to give you one, you know, I feel like you've had a few accolades throughout your career here. Some of them pretty awesome. Others, you know, just awesome. You're somebody who is an OUA champion, won a Yates Cup. You are a first-team All-Star with the OUA, a U Sports first-team All-Canadian, an OUA men's football team All-Star, U Sports first-team All-Canadian again, OUA men's football team All-Star. Jeez, my goodness, this keeps going. U Sports second-team All-Star, OUA first-team All-Star. Man, how many of these have you gotten? There's a lot on here.
Quite a few.
So you were, and that's not even all of them. You're a very accomplished receiver here at Laurier, accomplished athlete, accomplished student. You've done a lot. So tell us a little bit about yourself, just a little quick introduction, just for people who may not know you.
It's my fourth year here at Laurier.
Yeah.
Been part of the football team for 4 years, you know, hopefully just 4 years. But yeah, this is my year for, the draft. So I'm eligible to be drafted by any of the 9 teams in the CFL. So it's exciting, but that's me. You know, I'm a sociology major here, so I'm trying to finish up my degree within the next year or two.
Yeah,
but
hey.
Yeah, point, that's where we're going to finish, right?
Football is great, but getting a degree is also something that's super important.
Oh, yeah.
Not to be overlooked, just because you got immense football talent. But we're just going to ask you a few questions here. We're going to have a little good time with you. Yeah, we're going to start the show off asking you some basic questions about your time here at Laurier. Then we're going to go in and talk about the upcoming combine, something very exciting, kind of the biggest job interview you're going to have. And then we're going to go in and we're going to, second part of the show, we're going to do a little bit of a game with you, you know, just have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and before we even talk about the combine itself, you know, it's good. It's important to reflect on your time as an athlete, as a part of a school like Laurier, which is very much different from most other schools in that it's a very much a tight-knit community. You know, it's a lot smaller. The school is a lot more compact. You know, everyone, you're more often than not to see somebody walking through the hallways than you would somewhere like York, for example, which is a lot bigger, you know.
And garbage.
Hey, that's not me saying that, but it's okay. So, you know, how would you summarize your career here at Wilfrid Laurier University?
Summarize it. It's been life-changing, pretty much it, you know. So it's been fun. Just the people you meet inside of the school, outside of, like, inside of playing football and outside of just, like, being in class and stuff. I don't know. Like you said, it's just a very small community. It's, like, everyone knows who you are, you know. So it's, like, You gotta have like, you have a little swagger to yourself, but you don't like use it to like be like the bigger person, the bigger man. You're just trying to fit in with everybody else. Just, you're just here just to get your degree, you know, enjoy your time here, you know, and just do what you gotta do. So yeah, it's been life changing. It's something I won't regret, you know. So yeah.
Hey, that's awesome. I had a quick one for you. You've played a lot of awesome games here. What was the most memorable game that you were able to be a part of here?
It's a tough one still, because like you said, I've had a couple good games here. The most memorable one, like obviously it has to be like winning the championship, because it's the only championship we've won within my 4 years here. Yeah. So it obviously has to be that one. But aside from that, I would say probably in my first year, homecoming, where I scored my first ever touchdown on a punt return.
Yeah.
So that's probably close to winning a championship. Even though we lost the game, but it was still memorable because I scored my first ever touchdown there.
And those things are not to be, you know, you always remember those things. You don't dismiss them. Even, you know, you look at the larger picture of the game, but those are special moments when you're able to say, you know what, I did something as like a first time, you know, cement yourself in the league and like, you kind of started your home in the league there.
Exactly, yeah. So you can never forget those moments. Mm-hmm.
Now, and you also got a lot of accolades here. Now, not just at Laurier, but you got them within U Sports on a whole and the OUA. What one means the most to you? Was it the MVP, Yates Cup, U Sports All-Canadian? Which one of you is the one that you say, you know, that's the one that means the most to me?
There's like two, but like it was nice when like the league MVP, but that was just whatever. But like, I'd say like the biggest one would be cementing myself into the, like, to be the OUA career leader in receptions.
Yeah.
So in a whole career. So like literally like nobody can, like, you know, somebody has to like break it, you know. So that's something to, you know, tap yourself on. But also, it would be also the career receptions in a season.
Mm, okay.
So, you know, it hasn't been broken for like generations. So like, to have my name on there saying that I broke that record, you know. So as hopefully someone else comes within like next couple of generations that can break it.
And it's not even that you just, you know, you broke a, hey, you did a single game record. It's like you did something for the span of your career.
Yeah.
So it really speaks to, you know, the longevity and the preparation and, you know, the day in and day out work that you put in to be able to achieve those results, not for 1 year, not for 2 years, but for four complete years.
Oh, and just to touch upon that too, real quick, you know, even the fact, speaking about that work, you know, there was a point in your life where there was a bit of an injury that you suffered. And, you know, even still to overcome that and to still reach these milestones, it just cements your legacy that much more, I'd like to think. So definitely something that cannot be underplayed. Continuing on, so, you know, we've had all these exposure against Canadian athletes. We have to ask, because we are just, you know, curious, you know, we are radio personalities, and we'd like to, you know, has the thought ever crossed your mind throughout your Laurier career of playing south of the border?
Oh, yeah. I say if your mind as, like, a competitor and as an athlete, if that thought doesn't cross your mind, then something's wrong, you know? You obviously want to play football at the highest. For me, like, I love playing football here. I love playing football in Canada. But it's, like, something in my mind is, like, what if I was just down there, you know? Like, anything could happen, you know? So, it's, yeah. Obviously, I don't regret being here. But I'm just saying, like, what if? You never know. But I'll never know. But that's okay. I've had fun playing football here. And that's what it's all about, just having fun wherever you are.
And it's important to know, you know, the platform that you can still get playing in Canada. There are several athletes that have been drafted directly out of the U Sports, or formerly the CIS, directly to the NFL. So it's not to say that it can't be done. What was it last year? Was it the kid from Laval got drafted?
Yeah, I think.
Or he got signed to
The tight end from Tampa Bay,
right?
Anthony O'Clair.
Yeah. So it's and a few years back, I think there was a kid out of Manitoba or Saskatchewan. It was
David Onyemata for the New Orleans Saints. He's one of the starters on the D line. Yeah.
So it's a big platform, even playing in Canada. On anytime, you know, you're a league leader or you're a record holder, it says a lot to, first of all, the play in Canada. It is still top level play. Oh, yeah. But it also speaks to, you know, just your work ethic, that, you know, you can still ball and you can still make a name for yourself while being in Canada.
Yeah, so, like, everyone might say, like, even the guys, some of the guys in the U.S. might just look down Canada and be like, oh, we're like the weaker football. But yep. realistically, man, mm-hmm. like, you come try playing football here, you know, like, you know.
So if you think, like, it's that easy, then yeah, come up here.
You know,
matter of fact, one of them did. Johnny Manziel. I mean, he's a prime example right there. He did come north of the border, right. And we saw how that result went for
and
him.
Now I know we don't touch pro football, but you know that's a really good example of a guy who, you know, was in the NFL. You know, yes, was he? Maybe he wasn't like a career guy, but you know, it showed that there were other aspects outside of his actual play.
Mm-hmm.
But he could still ball. That's a guy that at A&M was an absolute stud.
Very highly touted.
And, you know, he gets to Canada and you're seeing, hey, listen, we still ball up here.
Absolutely.
It is a competitive league up here. So it's not a knock to say, oh, you're only going to the CFL. No, don't disrespect the talent and the level of athletes that are up here. But, I mean, it would be kind of sick, you know, to see. You never thought about playing out of Michigan.
Obviously, but like, yeah. Yeah, it always comes across.
You know, the 100,000 fans out there tailgating. Yeah. You're on ESPN. Yeah. It would be a fun experience.
Totally. It'd be fun, yeah.
There was never that, you know, KG thinking, you know, I really got to do it. I really got to push my luck to get down there.
Nah. So I never, like, really pushed my luck to get down. I just really just, like, went with the flow. So it's like, whatever happens, happens, you know?
If someone's that wanting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
But hey.
Maybe one day I'll end up over there. Who knows, you know? So.
One of your best years was 2017.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you had 75 receptions in the season, over 900 yards, six touchdowns. So, I mean, that's quite the chunk out of your career, which was around 200 receptions,
mm-hmm.
And over 2,600 yards, and over 15 touchdowns in your career.
Yeah.
So, you know, really successful year. What did that feel like for you, you know, just to be able to say, you know what, you can put up the numbers and you have the numbers there to prove, you know what, I can do this. I'm a really good football player.
Yeah, I never really thought of myself as being like a good football player, believe it or not. I just literally just have fun, you know. I did something cool, yeah, or whatever, you mm-hmm. know. But to like reflect on that season, yeah, the numbers were there, but it was literally just me being healthy enough and just having fun, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to. I never really thought about like putting up that many numbers, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just went, you know, like I said before, I go with the flow, you know, had fun, did what I had to do, and just, yeah, the numbers speak for itself.
You ever just look at the numbers now and go, jeez, I really did that?
I look at the numbers now, I'm like, man, I wish I had 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah. But that's okay. So close, 50 yards off.
Oh, fun fact. The 50 yards,
yep.
I scored a 50-yard touchdown in the first game of the season, and then they called it off. So if they hadn't called it off, would have been.
So what you're saying is you really do have the mileage for the 1,000 yards. So.
Yeah, it's there. So, yeah.
So. No, those ones have got to be just the biggest daggers in the heart, say. Like when you get that huge play, and then all of a sudden you get the laundry on the field, and it gets called back. It's just a dagger. In the heart, you know, it'd be so close, 1,000 yards.
You sit there like, I did it. I know I can do it.
Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, nonetheless, it's super impressive to look at those numbers. I mean, even your career numbers.
Oh, yeah.
To look at those and go, I mean, if that was me, I'd look at them and be like, I really did that. Do you ever feel like, you know what, I should have gotten more or I could have gotten more?
All the time, man. Like, for example, if I wasn't hit with my hamstring injury for half of my season, my second year, then I'm like, man, my numbers could have been a lot better, you know, more accolades could have been up there. But as I said, it is what it is, you know, so I can't control that.
But I mean, hey, it's important to be hungry, right?
Oh, you always got to be hungry.
If you ever feel like, you know what, I did enough, then do you want it? Do you really want it?
Not really, to be honest.
And so one thing that, you know, Jonathan and I are really curious about. A lot of, you know, sports will joke around, you know, like in hockey, for example, you know, there'll be a rookie skating across center ice, you know, a big veteran will come and just absolutely clothesline him, you know, and then he'll make the joke, like, welcome to the NHL. You know, did you say, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a hit, it could be a touchdown, could be a first catch, you know, could be even just touching the field for the first time. What would you say was your welcome to the OUA moment?
Honestly, it was that moment where I was telling you guys I scored my first ever touchdown in my first year. So the first couple of games had been like okay, like whatever. It was still okay, but it wasn't like, you know, like I'm here, you know, like, you know, this
like
is
people got to watch
exactly,
out for you.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like okay, this is who I am. You know, you got to take into account who I am. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so homecoming coming, I'm just waiting for just like that moment where it's like, okay, finally I can show the coaches why they recruited me, like the players, like why they can trust me, why I can be that guy. So yeah, homecoming comes, I feel good in the morning, I'm just walking to the stadium as usual, you know, every game day, you know, just walking to the stadium. And then I had a little like feeling in my stomach, that, you know, that feeling, you know,
today might be the day.
It's about to be a good day, yeah. You know.
It's a bad day to be them.
I don't know when, but it's going to be a good day. You know, so yeah, so I literally just didn't overthink anything. And then we worked on this play in practice the whole week. It was a throwback on a punt return. Then coach or special teams coordinator just called it. And then, man, like, couldn't call it at a better time, you know? Like, we're down. We need points. We need a momentum. He called it. We executed, scored a touchdown, celebrated with the fans. And it's a moment I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
So while you're running the play, you know, sometimes when you're running the play, you can get to that point where you're like, oh boy, this is going. I'm gonna score. What was that feeling like? You know, just knowing this is my first one, homecoming, here we go.
I honestly didn't know I was gonna score until I got in the end zone, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because there was a couple people right there. I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna get past them, you know. So yeah, it was nice.
No, and yeah, just speaking about that too, you know, having that mentality, like it's never done till it's done, you know,
yeah.
Where does that work ethic come from? You know, what type of work ethic is that you say you have that's needed to be this top tier Canadian athlete in the OUA?
It just comes from like, it's a good question. It just comes from like knowing like whatever you do, you know, nobody's ever going to respect it, you know, because there's always that like that one guy that's going to come up or whatever that's going to push, like you're like, oh, like they're always going to forget you, like saying you usually say, like I forget, but you say a saying where it's like you never know who's going to be the next, so you got to continue working like you're the best.
Oof.
Something like that. So yeah, it's like knowing like whatever I do, like yeah, you're going to appreciate it now, but like I always need to prove myself. So that's the mindset I have of just working hard and always. I always got to prove myself regardless of what I do.
And honestly, it's true. You can talk about all kinds of things. You want to use a professional sports example, you can use Golden State. They're a team that they're on top of the mountain and they will add top end talent. It doesn't matter because you got to recognize that people are coming for you. If stagnation is the same as decline. If it's not getting better, it's getting worse because other people are getting better. And that's really what the league is life. That's what life is like. It's so competitive. And that's a top tier mindset. That is a top tier mindset of a guy who says, I want to win.
Yeah.
And I got to be better. And it's hard. You don't always, it's super easy, right? To have the mindset of, I want to go out and work when it's game day.
Yeah.
Or when it's the practice before a game or things like that. But how do you keep that motivation in January, in February, when you got those 6 a.m. lifts, or, you know, or in the start of the summer when no one's there and you're just by yourself and you say, hey, I got to go to the gym or I got to work on my craft today? What keeps you motivated?
Just thinking about like the bigger picture. So it's like not what's happening right now, but like what you're working for like the bigger goal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, it's like obviously you want a better life because of the life you're living right now. So you got to work towards that every single day, you know. You can have a little fun, but as long as you keep that mindset, keep that, like, that bigger picture ahead, like, in your head, then you're always going to work hard, you know.
And that's super important. Keep a clear image of what you want.
Yeah.
If you can keep that focused, it'll help. So, quick one. Pre-game. You got to be focused. Got to be dialed in. Mm-hmm. Some guys have their own thing. What's the Curly Gittins thing that he has to do to make sure his mind is right, or to, you know, just pregame ritual, pregame routine? What is it for Curly that makes Curly not perform, because it's really your preparation, but mm-hmm. what keeps you in the right state?
Just keeping my mind relaxed, saying, man, just go have fun, you know?
Do you have any superstitions?
Not really, but like there's things I do, like, if I don't do it, then I feel weird.
You know?
So, but like, I don't believe in that. So like, nah.
Not really.
No. So shifting gears a little bit now, with the big weekend coming ahead now.
Yeah.
This is the National Combine weekend, and you will be participating this weekend in the National Combine, beginning this Friday.
Yeah.
And be doing an assortment of exercises, you know, like bench press, three cone shuttle, you know, vertical jump, just a couple examples. So, you know, a couple of those examples right there. How does the preparation change for an event like the CFL Combine, and how does that differ from training from a typical football season?
Because when you're training for football, right, you're training for, like, on the field, you're training for, like, condition, all, like, the stuff that's happening on the field. But, like, when you're training for the Combine, you got to train for literally everything. You got to keep every single event in mind when you're training. So you're not just training to just to do what you do with the ball in your hands or whatever position you're training for. So Combine, you're really training for your strength, your vertical, how far you can jump up, how far you can jump out. So it's like literally you got to keep, and on top of that, you got to keep in football shape, like, because we do one-on-ones, like receiver drills and all that stuff. So like literally just training to be an overall better athlete. That's the way I think about it.
Do you you touched upon that real quick too, you know, with the CFL Combine, for some of you may not know, it does include the aspect different from the NFL Combine where you are actually in pads and you will do one-on-ones, you know, for offensive, defensive linemen, you know, one-on-one straight pass rush. For receivers and DBs, it's, you know, running routes, skelly, more or less one-on-ones. You know, do you find yourself watching film against some of the potential DB recruits out there, kind of studying what their techniques and habits are, and, you know, what, you know, again, your prolific athlete as is, but what you could use of your arsenal to just really exploit them, if you will?
I wouldn't say, like, watching film on them. I would just be, like, just fine-tuning my game, right? It's because, like, same thing for them. They haven't seen me run a route before, right? I haven't seen them cover, but in their own system, they can be a zone player or a man player. I don't know, right? So it's not really about, like, looking. Like, some of the guys I played against in the OUA, or I've played against in the All-Star game, the East-West, so I'm kind of, like, familiar with however they play. But at the end of the day, it's, man, it's just, like, who wants it more? Who's going to, you know, go that extra inch just to beat your guy? So.
And, yeah, you're out there to compete for you, not to – to embarrass them. You're working on your thing, they're working on their thing. But it is kind of interesting. It is totally different. No other combine does the in pads, one-on-one. You know, it's kind of a break from the 40-yard dash, the bench press, the cone drills. It's more of football.
Yeah.
How refreshing do you think that'll feel just to be, you know what, screw the bench press. Not that you're not going to compete out and do well, but you know what? It's done with all this performance testing and just down to football. Let's see who can ball and who can't ball.
Yeah, like, see, that's the perfect way you said it. Because, like, at the end of the day, man, like, you can be a freak athlete. Mm-hmm. But, you're going to put up good numbers on the bench. You're going to run a good 40. And then you're going to jump high. You're going to jump, you know. But can you really run a route? Can you really cover a guy, you know? So that's the one part of the... That's one part of the events that I like about the CFL Combine. Is like you really get to show, like, if you can actually play football, you know? Yes, you may go to a school in the NCAA and then you may think you're better than a Canadian, but can you really, you know,
come out and prove it. Come out and prove it.
You're going to put up good... Yeah, sure.
If you want to talk the talk, come walk the walk. That's what it really is about. And that's the exciting part about that part. There's a lot of guys who in the past maybe... didn't really blow anybody away with their straight numbers in terms of anything like that, but they get on the field and do a pass rush, and scouts sit there and go, holy cow, I don't know what it is, but this kid can bowl.
Yeah.
Do you think, now I know this isn't a fair question because you're not in a position for that, but do you think, you know, the NFL should implement something like that?
Honestly, no.
No?
No.
It's just a lot more you got to, like, focus on, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, just keep it down just like to what a combine really should be, you know? It's like, regardless if you like it or not, combine should just be like testing, like, your literally
athleticism, putting numbers to athleticism.
And let the film talk for itself. You guys get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you put 4 years, you put 4 years of film on tape. And what else was that for, other than for you,
so, like,
to go?
If you're not
going
to use that, then, like, there's no point in playing. Might as well just invite a couple of players to that combine.
Just have a scrimmage.
You know? Well, absolutely, too. And just, you know, to really talk about the importance of film, you know, just as a little testament, as a side here, if you will. You know, the combine itself, as great as it is to showcase your physical attributes, you know, to really showcase the work you put in, the dedication that you have to your craft, you know, as you said, the film, you know, it doesn't lie. It doesn't lie.
No.
You can't distort it. And I mean, just to take a couple examples from the NFL, if you will, For my Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they have two players that were on that roster. A receiver by the name of John Ross ran the fastest 40, 4.39 or something like that.
I was like 4.22 something.
4.2.
Yeah,
the matter is, he's not been a very good receiver.
Yeah.
And another example, too, they had a center by the name of Russell Bodine, who had set the record for amount of bench press reps. He did about 47, I think it was. And he was terrible. He was cut the next season. But there was another example I want to touch upon, though, is in the last combine, there was a tackle for the Ravens. We got drafted to the Ravens. His name was Orlando Brown. And he had one of the worst combines there ever was. Did not test very well at all. I think he barely put up 30 reps on bench press. He ran an extremely slow 40. Just the numbers were not there. But again, the film, it did not lie. It showed a great set of skill sets right there. Got drafted in the second round as a starter. You know, I just really want to emphasize this point that the combine is important, but I've, you know, personally, Sunday, what happens there is going to be phenomenal to watch. I'm so excited for that. You know, just putting things into perspective here, you know, this is just more of a fun question for you. If you could scout, you know, a CFL or an NFL team and you could find your perfect fit, where would you want to go?
That's a good question. So, like, in the CFL, looking at, like, the offenses and, like, what people run and stuff and the QBs, depending on the QBs, obviously you want to be with a good QB, right? You don't want to obviously be with a shit QB because that's no fun. But, yeah. So, like, for me personally, in the CFL, it would be the Hamilton Tiger Cats because I feel like what they do offensively fits who I am as a football player, as a receiver. So, like, me pairing up with what's a QB? What's his name again? Ty Cats.
Oh, my God. It was at one point Manziel.
Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Mazzoli, yeah.
Exactly. Me pairing up with him would be good because his talents as a quarterback fits me as a receiver, right? So, I don't know. Something I like to happen, but we'll see what happens. So for the NFL, I don't know because there's so many teams. There's 32 teams, and it's like, obviously, they're all run different stuff, but it's...
You really want to be with the New York Giants, what you're trying to tell me.
You meant to say the Bengals, actually.
I mean, we're just putting our bias here because of our teams.
We always have one.
But I don't know. It'd probably be the Dallas Cowboys, to be honest.
Wow.
Sorry to upset both of you guys.
Jerry's world.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. That's quite the fit there.
I feel like, yeah, it's awesome.
Randall Cobb just went there.
Exactly.
Randall Cobb just went there. Who else did they get?
Amari Cooper,
Randall Cobb. Ooh.
Tavon Austin.
And a Curly Gittens Jr.?
That'd be dangerous.
Can you imagine yourself wearing that star one day, walking on there to Jerry's World?
Not a star, but like something.
I will. If you are wearing the star on the helmet, I will personally fly to the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to boo you. Because I will not stand for this. I will not watch somebody that I know wear the star. I will not allow you to get off scot-free.
I feel like we already have an answer to this question, but just for fun, is there anywhere you wouldn't like to go?
Honestly, I wouldn't say it like that. I wouldn't say like, oh, if this team, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to Montreal. You know, it's like, I wouldn't say like anywhere I wouldn't want to go, but like, I wouldn't prefer, like, anywhere who picks me, yes, I'll be delighted enough. Like, I'll be delighted to be there. But personally, like, my preference, like, nowhere, like, too, you know, severely cold places, you know.
I get that.
Like, Sask or, like, Edmonton, like, you want to stay away from that as a receiver, you know. So
it's the warm.
But, yeah, of course. You're obviously delighted to go anywhere you can go. It is an opportunity not a lot to get, and you don't often get to choose.
Yeah.
but, hey, listen, if it was me, I don't do well in that Saskatchewan bitter cold.
They do have a great fan base, though.
Yeah.
They do.
No forgetting
they
that.
Do.
Their Green Nation over there is quite something to admire.
It is a spectacle to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just going back to the combine real briefly. So for yourself, what do you anticipate being the biggest challenge facing you at the combine?
Gonna be totally honest. So the biggest challenge is that faced me in the combine would be the bench press. Because personally, I've been like you know me. Like I first came in as a speed receiver. I was like what 165, maybe 170. You know, so it's like I had to build my strength throughout my 4 years here, and I feel like I have done a good job of that. But you know, there's always that like doubt. Man, I don't think I'm strong enough. You know, like yeah, like I've good speed and like can run my routes good. Like nobody, you know, nobody can cover me all that. But like as like a competitor that I am, like you want to put up good numbers in every event you do, right? So for me, like that was like my biggest focus in training. Not my biggest, but like that was one of my concern. Am I going to be able to put up the amount of reps that the scout, like the teams want to see me do? So like that's, yeah. So the bench press is the one of the area that is going to challenge me. But I feel like with my training over the past 4 or 5 months, that I'll be fine with it. It's just like, that voice in your head saying, man, like, you know, you've been skinny like 2 years, you know, like you're going to be strong enough. You're going to put up enough reps. But yeah, I think I'll be fine doing it.
And then conversely with that, would you say that there's one specific category, one specific set of testing that you feel that you're going to really accelerate in, that you feel you could really separate yourself from the pack in?
See, like, it's a tough question because I don't want to be that guy to be like, man, like, you know, like I can really separate myself from like the guys from doing one-on-ones. But I would say like I want to prove to the scouts that in everything, in every event that I do, that there's going to be a good result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be like, man, like I don't care about these other events. I'm just going to wait to the one-on-ones just to separate myself. And every event I do, I want to separate myself. So if that being the bench press, even though I may not separate myself, but I'm still going to, you know.
You'll hold your own.
Exactly. So 40, I'm going to hold my own. The cone drills, the indies, the gauntlet, I'll hold my own. One-on-ones, I'll hold my own. But I think my overall performance is going to separate myself.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, and that's a good quality. If you can show that, hey, I'm an all-around receiver, hey, when I get the ball in my hands, I'm going to catch it. If it's going to touch my hands, it's gonna exactly, stay in my hands. If you need me to run, be a speed receiver, I can be a speed receiver. If you need me just to do agility, work from the slot, hey, I can do it. I can be whatever you need me to do. A Swiss Army knife is a skill set. It is a real skill set to be able to say, you can plug me anywhere and I can excel. I'm not just a guy that maybe has to be on the outside and needs just deep routes or whatever it is. So, hey, if that's what you're saying, hey, I'm an overall performer. I am just going to be a great receiver. That's perfect.
I agree, football player, actually.
Okay, hey. KG will play anywhere.
And even just a testament of that, too, you know, just the way the CFL NFL has developed these days and how it has advanced is, you know, speed kills.
Oh, yeah.
Speed kills, and it's, you know, it's no forgotten matter that speed is one of the biggest factors in your game, and you are one of the fastest receivers, I think I could safely say, in all of Canada. And, you know, it's definitely going to showcase itself, and having that element in your game is definitely something that's going to be a huge factor down the line. So, big one coming up here. This is just, you know, straight for you to the mic, not even a Joe Thin and I in this instance here. Why should Curley Gittens Jr. be the top Canadian picked in this year's CFL draft?
Why should I be? Couple of reasons. So my first reason, man, the resume doesn't lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second, it's like I'm gonna go to the combine, do what I gotta do, take care of my side of stuff, you know, and then just let it be. And then three, it's just like you're gonna get a player that's who's like whichever team chooses me. They're going to get literally everything out of me, like how Loria got everything out of me. I'll put my 100% into whatever I do, regardless. If we're there for 4 hours, I'm there for 8 hours. You know, it's one of those things, you know. You're investing in me, and I'm investing in you, you know. Say, and then they also got a winner, someone who doesn't like losing, you know, but he'll do anything to win. And then another reason is, like, you know, they have American talent. Not American talent, but American players that they may choose in front of the Canadian players, but it's the way she is. It shouldn't be like that, but like, so, you know, it's a Canadian league, and I think differently, but sometimes it is the way it is. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of good reasons. A lot of good reasons.
And you are going to, if your time at Laurier has been anything of kind of like a preview of what's to come, it's going to be you out there working hard. Nobody ever has to question whether you're going to push yourself to work hard. Nobody questions whether you have the physical skills to do it. It's about, you know, are you going to get the opportunity?
Yeah.
And when you do, are you going to seize it?
Absolutely. So we have a short break coming up here, but coming back after the break, we got a little game like Joth and I have played before called Match That Athlete With That Sport, and we have a lot of fun coming in for Curley Gittens Jr. for that.
Ice water turn Atlantic. Night calling in a phantom. Told them that don't you panic. Took an island, fled the mansion. Drop the roof, more expansion. Drive a coupe, you can stand. She love-
and we are back with this edition of Name That Hawk to That Sport. And
yeah. So, because Kiefer, I don't know about you, but maybe people don't know my name around campus. I get that.
Some may.
You know, some. But does that bother me? No. But let's be real. How many people know Curly Gittens Jr. on campus?
If you ever go past Wilkes, you see the photo of him getting that nice flex on right there. So,
do you like having that photo up? You see
I don't
in there?
Even know, to be honest.
You don't know how to feel about it, eh?
So, a little quick TLDR for how this game works. We have a name, and simple as it is, just got to say, what sport do you think they play?
Let's see if Curly all
right, let's go.
Knows half the amount of people on, that guys. Know Curly.
So?
I'm going to start it off.
Yes, sir.
So, the first name I got on here is, it's going to be a woman. Now, this is a lady who is a U Sports All-Academic All-Canadian. Whew. She's been the Athlete of the Week 3 times. Her name is Jill Condron. What sport does she play?
Come on, that's too easy, man. Come on. That's basketball. That's way too easy. Come on.
Woman's basketball. All right. One for one, I rate.
That's one for one.
Okay. Coming over here. Sticking in the women's department. So this athlete has been a first-team All-Star and has also won Rookie of the Year in 2016-2017. So their name is Ellie Reed.
Oh, that's soccer, man. This is too easy, guys.
Okay.
Wow, two for two.
All right, so
you guys are.
Here's the deal. We had to start off easy just to make sure, you know, you're into the game, into the flow of the game. You know, we don't want you striking out early and then you leave and you hate us. So we're going to start ramping it up.
Four for four.
All right, so round two. Here we go. This guy has done quite a few things here at Laurier. One of them has been he went and competed for Team Canada. This guy is 5'11". He is actually from Waterloo, Ontario. His name is Danny Hanlon. What sport does he play?
That's hockey.
That's...
Wow.
Are you sure?
Yes, positive.
That is absolutely correct. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we're starting to see that Curly maybe does know some of the athletes on campus.
Three for three. So, you know what? I had to amp up a little bit here. I had one set help here that, you know what? Maybe I think you would have figured it out. So, I decided to amp the difficulty up. So, this athlete has won 3 straight championships. 2015-2016 CIS Academic All-Canadian. They're in their 4th year. And they go by the name of Jeffrey Wanless.
Jeffrey?
Mm-hmm.
Are we stumping him? I think we're stumping him, eh?
Never heard of him, to be honest.
Oh,
okay. Here we go.
Three-time champion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3-time champion. I'll guess the sport. Let's go with swimming.
No, men's curling.
Men's curling is one of the our best sports here at Laurier. You have to know.
Very dominant. Very dominant program.
That was my second guess, to be honest.
Okay, so this one. Now, this 3rd year is from Georgetown, Ontario. Now, she studies biology. She was the 2016-2017 Team Rookie of the Year. Her name is Emma Heaps. What sport does she play?
Come on, guys. Too easy. Cheerleading.
Ah, wow. This guy does play, everybody. I'm impressed. Okay.
Come on.
Another one here. So we got a lot of accomplished athletes that we've been picking out here. That's wild. So for this one, talking about 2016-2017 All-Rookie Team, 2016 to 2018 back-to-back Team MVP, 2016-2017 Team Rookie of the Year, Athlete of the Week twice, and they go by the name of Emily Woodhouse.
That's hockey.
Yes. My God.
That's way too easy, guys. Come on.
Wow, way too easy, he says. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So now I'm not confident. You know, at first I was super confident. There is no way he's getting this far. But apparently this guy knows everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this gentleman is a Scarborough, Ontario native.
Jeez.
He has gotten a first team All-Star three times and one second team All-Star. This is a guy who has been the team most valuable player and team rookie of the year. His program is biology, and his name is Tariq Rodriguez. What sport does he play?
He's a soccer player. Come on.
Wow. All right. For our last one of the day, we're doing a double whammy. I'm giving you two names at once. You got to name the sport for both of these guys.
All right.
So our first athlete, he's a first year. He has recently joined the school and, you know, from somewhere not too far from here. Goes by the name of Leo Hernandez.
Who?
Leo Hernandez.
Who?
Leo Hernandez.
Leo
Hernandez.
Leo?
Leo.
Leo, okay. Leo. Okay, you got to tell me, like, come on. You got to give me something.
No. That's it. No. That is it.
It's a first year, so we didn't have as many,
not as many accolades
to go with this one.
Leo
Hernandez.
It's a dude. Leo. And this is what? His first semester. Which one?
It's his first year.
First year.
Leo. Oh, he's a football player.
Wow.
Come on, guys.
That took you way too long.
I want to say, this is a guy who is on the offense with you. And it took you that long.
Yes.
That one hurts.
It doesn't, actually.
Okay. And the last one, this is also another first year. He's 6 foot nothing. And, you know, he's a burly lad. He goes by the name of Wyatt Hicken.
Who?
Wyatt Hicken.
Wyatt?
Hicken.
Wyatt.
Wyatt Hicken.
What year?
First year. He's in law and society.
Law and society.
That's a course we have?
It is.
He's a smart guy right there.
We have a law.
Wyatt?
Wyatt Hicken. Number zero.
Number zero? This one's tough. Man. I want to say curling.
No, men's rugby. We got you in the last one.
I don't even know that one.
Yet. Oh, we got you in the last one. You know what? I'm still taking the Leo one as a bit of a dub because that one didn't. I thought that one would click right away.
That should have clicked right away.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
You spent a whole season with the guy.
Poor young lad.
I still know him, though.
Good lad at that. A lot of potential ahead of him. I can attest to that for sure. I've seen him in the locker room. And on the field, because talking to him all the time.
I was going
to
say, what did you mean there? You said I can,
all the time.
Can attest to that from seeing him in the locker room?
And talking to him all the time.
The point of being in the locker room is to leave the locker room, not to just hang out there with the lads.
Yeah, there's a thing you can pull on film in there.
I'm sorry?
Film. Anyways, so that about wraps it up for this week's episode of Hawkeyes. Thank you so much for joining us, Curly.
Thanks
truly
for
a pleasure,
me,
truly an honor.
We wish you the best of luck on the combine.
I appreciate it.
Big time for you, and you know, you got your whole school rooting for you.
Thank you. It means a lot.
So best of luck, and we will catch you guys next week. Have a good night.